This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this ninth day of November 2022. And tonight we have, well, we'll get right into it. First we have our guardian of the switchboard, none other than our courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Great, good evening. You're doing good, young man. You're getting better every day.
I'm trying.
Okay, yeah, you're doing a good job. You got to tell people when they're doing a good job. And you got to tell these politicians like Biden when they're doing a bad job. And I
most
do.
Definitely do.
Yep. Now, we have with us tonight... this is Wendy Wednesday. It's Wendy Wednesday. So, folks, she is an all, you know, she's a daughter. She's a mother. She was a wife. And listen to this, because I happen to know something that no Democrat knows. And that is this. I know what a woman is. I know what a woman is. I absolutely do. And Wendy Wilson is an all-natural herbal woman. Hey, Wendy.
Good evening, Pastor.
Was I right? Are you an all-natural woman?
I try to be natural, yes.
Yep, all right. See, do you know any Democrats that know what a woman is?
I don't know any Democrats, so I guess not.
All right. And, well, there's one other that knows what a woman is, and that's Pastor Joe Larson.
Yes, and I'm married to one and intend to stay that way for a very long time. Pleasure to be with you tonight.
All right. Did you make sure she was a woman before you married her?
Yeah.
That's a leading question. I knew she was a lady.
A lady. All right. We're living in strange times, aren't we? It's amazing. It's amazing. Some of the things that...
I've got a story or two that's going to make it even stranger.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. There's, yeah. Are you talking about I have, well, Miss... Well, we'll talk about that later. I don't want to get into that. Let's get into the scripture. And here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to get into our scripture. And then, Wendy, the topic that you're talking about with Dr. Brian Artis... We're going at the bottom of the hour, we're going to listen to a clip from Jane Ruby. It's probably about 15 or 20 minute clip. And then afterwards, we're going to have you give commentary on that.
Okay.
And then And then we got a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of stuff. I'll turn Joe loose because he's jumping into bit to do a bunch of stuff. So let's start in our scripture tonight, and let's praise the good Lord. Last night they did not take us down. So we just, let's start off with a prayer tonight that they don't take us down again. Let's pray. Again, before I do that, I'm going to ask all the folks out there with us, because listen, folks, we got a real dynamite program tonight, but we got to stay on the air to do it. And the sinister, dark, sinister forces of the deep state, the Satanists, they do not want us on the air, okay? They don't want us on the earth. So, anyhow, now let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we start tonight, we ask again, Lord, that this program be the program you want it to be. We ask that you would host this program, Father. And Lord, that your truth, your whole truth, nothing, not a word that's not your truth be said here tonight. Let what the message that you would have for the hearts and the minds of the people to reach all of those that you would have hear it tonight, and let this all fall out in a way that's honoring, glorifying, and well-pleasing, and furthers the cause of Christ in the kingdom, and that some may receive eternal life through tonight's radio program. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so we're going to pick it up where we left off. And so, Joe, you're going to pick it up, excuse me, in verse 16. Now, read verse 16 down through 21.
16 through 21.
Wait a minute, Joe, before you do that. Okay. We're in Ezekiel chapter 23. And Wendy, what we're going to be talking about here, it's about two sisters. And these two sisters, their name was Aholah and Aholabah. Now, these two women are whores, but this is an allegory. So these aren't real women, okay? See, I know what a woman is now, so I know that these aren't real women. Actually, what they do is they're representing, first on the first scale, they're representing the cities of Samaria, and that is Aholah. She represents Samaria, and Aholabah, her sister, represents Jerusalem. Now, then, on a higher scale, the second application is they represent the southern and the northern kingdoms, Israel and Judah. So that's the and as you go through this passage. Now, this really has an application of America to America today, where you have two nations, you know, inhabiting one land. And that's what we have in America today. And so,
what chapter are we in?
Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel 23. Now, this is an allegory. So, you know, the Bible gives you where real whores, like for Jezebel or Athaliah or Delilah or Gomer, these were actual women who played the harlot. And so this is why, as you go through Scripture, he compares wicked cities and wicked countries to women that are whorish women. Boy, does America have a problem with that today. But so, Joe, pick it up in verse 16 and read all the way through verse 21.
And as soon as she saw them with her eyes, she doted upon them and sent messengers unto them into Chaldea. And the Babylonians came unto her under the bed of love, and they defiled her with their whoredom. And she was polluted with them, and her mind was alienated from them. So she discovered her whoredoms and discovered her nakedness. Then my mind was alienated from her, like as my mind was alienated from her sister. Yet she multiplied her whoredoms in calling to remembrance the days of her youth, wherein she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt. For she doted upon their paramours, whose flesh is as the flesh of asses, and whose issue is like the issue of horses. Thus thou callest to remembrance the lewdness of thy youth, in bruising thy teats by the Egyptians for the paps of thy youth.
So here now, when it says that she doted upon, that means she committed adultery with him. And as it goes on, and into her bed of love, and he defiled her with her whoredoms, and she was polluted with them, and her mind was alienated. Now, here again, he's talking about Aloha Haba, who went just like after her sister, and God is speaking. God says they alienated them from him. In other words, because of their whoredoms. And so, Joe, how did they commit whoredom?
Spiritual, right?
Pardon?
It was physical and spiritual whoredom they committed.
Yeah. Now, in other words, he's telling them when it says, and she played the harlot in the land of Egypt. Now, here, what is she doing? She's using the women, the idea is they're using sexual favors, okay, to get what they want from these nations, okay? And again, like I said, this is an allegory, so he's comparing what they did. They didn't, instead of going to God, God said, look, if you come to me, okay, be my people, don't worry about your enemies. I'll take care, you won't have any, I'll take care of those. But why didn't they want to do that? Why didn't they want to go to God instead of Egypt or Babylon?
Well, they always seem to want to put their trust in men rather than God for some reason.
Well, the reason's very clear.
Like the other nations, remember back in the beginning, they wanted a king like the other nations. They didn't want just God controlling. They wanted a real earthly king.
Okay, but the reason...
their downfall.
No, the reason is very, very clear. It's exactly the same reason here in America today. It's exactly why these people were out there, why they voted when they take these polls and they said, we want to keep abortion legal. Okay, we want to continue in their sin. They don't want to say God demands. He demands. Look, okay. Which first of all, you have to repent, and quit your sinning. And if you're obedient to me, I will bless you in abundance. You'll have a good life. You won't have to worry. You'll be at peace. You won't have to worry about going to war. You'll live a clean life. And they're saying, we don't want no clean life. In America today, that's what they're saying. Look, that's why we vote for people like that Warnock. That's why we vote for people like Governor Whitmore. That's why we vote for that Fetterman. We don't want a clean life. We want our sin. We want our pleasure. That's what we want. And so that's exactly what they're doing, what they were doing. They're saying, God, we don't want to be obedient to you. We would rather enjoy our sin with Babylon and Chaldea than be in obedience and compliance and live a good life, live a clean life, live a holy life with you.
Hey,
and
Pastor,
so, pardon? Yeah,
question.
Yeah.
Okay, so in verse 20, what does it mean when you're comparing it to asses and horses? What does that mean?
Well, for she doted upon her paramours. Paramours are lovers, whose flesh is as the flesh of asses, okay? In other words, it's not as the flesh of human beings. It's an ass was not considered a good thing, okay? And then here, when she says this, and whose issue is like that, the issue of horses. In other words, you know what the issue is. When they're having their periods, it's like they're bleeding like a horse is bleeding. Okay? In other words, he's telling them, see, he's comparing that with their sin. It's their sin is what he's referring to there. Okay? And it's their sin is way above what it should be as a normal person. They're not even acting like people here.
An ass in heat is not very particular who she mates with or how often.
And you don't even want to try to get them to work.
No, not when they're in that mood. They will not.
Yep. It's like a buck deer when they're running. you know, in that rutting season, they're out there looking for mate. They've attacked women who were having their periods. And one day I come home,
horses
I had...
Horses have done that, too.
Pardon?
Horses have done that, too.
Yeah, I know.
Be careful around a stallion if you have a female with a period.
Oh, yeah. Well, same thing around... I used to have a large dog, and he wouldn't attack them, but boy, would he embarrass some women. But anyhow,
yeah.
One day I come home, and it was after I got off the radio, and I came home, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I had raked up a pile of acorns. I have this huge acorn tree, and there's a whole herd of deers right in my driveway. So I pull up. And I'm figuring, well, I couldn't believe they did. They just stood there. My car is no more than 7-8 feet away. And this buck, a big buck. So I figured, well, when I open that door and get out, tap my horn, they'll take off. And so I opened the door, got out, and before I could tap the horn, the buck started walking towards me. And I thought, you know, this is not good. You know, not
this
out here
right,
at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Clock in the morning.
Hey, Pastor, did he scrape the ground with one of his feet to warn you and stamp his feet?
He might have done that while I was turning the lights off in the car, but he did lower his head down. Okay, he had a big rack on him, and I thought, well, you know, I don't want to have to hurt this buck, so I went back. I hightailed it into the house. And out here where I'm at now, they're everywhere, and they're in fact I saw two of them at the radio station. There was one on a high level looking down at another one. It's amazing. I've never seen so many deer like that there is out here. It's just amazing.
Yeah, there was like a mother deer and her fawn, and they were right on the edge of the property. There was like a woodsy area. They were just right on the rim and in the tall grass, and I was walking my dog, you know, and I came upon him. I didn't even see the male. He was so well camouflaged. And so I guess I got too close, and he made himself known. And he was, like, pawing the ground and dipping his head, like you were saying.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he was, like, you know, warning me to stay away.
Yeah, they get they get pretty ornery when they're going through rutting season, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a good idea. Actually, you get them by the antlers, you can twist them. You twist their antlers, you can pull them over. But, you know, in the process, it's not easy to get them by the antlers before the antlers get you.
Yeah, but, well, I was walking a dog, and I'm 5'2", and I don't think so.
Yeah, I know. Anyhow, getting back to the scripture there. So here's what they're saying Joe, is what he's referring to in verse 21. Thou callest to remember the lewdness of thy youth. He's talking about lewdness here as promiscuity is what he's saying. And right. He's referring to giving sexual favors instead of being faithful to their spouse, you know. So here the spouse is God. Remember, Israel is the wife of God.
Right.
So instead of being what he's talking about here. Now, let's go over here. In fact, that what he's talking about there too, and going back to verse 16, in 16, and as soon as she saw them with her eyes, she doted upon them. Turn to Isaiah 39, because that's what it's talking about, what happened in Isaiah 39, Joe. And in Isaiah 39, read verses 1 through 8, because it was referring to Hezekiah and what he did with Babylon, okay? Remember, the Chaldeans were the hoi polloi of Babylon. They were the Babylonian special forces. So 39, read verse 1 through 8.
All right, if I get by the first word, at that time,
Merodach, Baladan.
Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto the king Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that thou shalt issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days.
Well, now, you know, first of all, Hezekiah was one of God's most faithful, Judah's most faithful kings, anyhow. And, you know, he had worked hard throughout his reign to stamp out idol worship and purify the worship of the true God. But here, this guy, this Merodach Baladan, he was a Babylonian prince, Joe, and he was planning a revolt against Assyria. And his what he was wanting to do here is convince Hezekiah to form a confederacy with him, and an alliance against Assyria. But one of the problems for these people was the Babylonians, and especially the special forces unit that we talked about, the Babylonians, was they had a reputation for betrayal. They had such a reputation for forming an alliance and then double-crossing you. And you see that in the book of Habakkuk.
Doing everything for their advantage.
Right. The Chaldeans, yeah. What they would do is they were famous for forming an alliance with King Smith and saying, King Smith, let's do this. Let's align and let's attack Jones. And we'll split. We'll line up together and we'll split us. Now, what happened, Smith knows that these Chaldeans, they're so powerful. They are such a powerful and ruthless force. You don't want to say no or get them angry, so you agree with them. So what happens is here they have the Chaldeans have an army waiting. As soon as Smith leaves his country to join up with the other Chaldeans, they come in and they loot. While they've got him out, and they loot and they pillage and they take their women, and so they were known for that. But God deals with them over there when he had told Habakkuk, go out throughout the land, post throughout all the land. On this day, at this place, I will destroy the Chaldeans. And remember, the three kings came together and they challenged him. So now here he was he did a foolish thing. He was a very good king, but he did a foolish thing, and he did something that he thought that this would gain the trust, maybe.
But impress them and, yeah, get their trust. I'm willing to show you all my treasures. You trust me, I trust you, right?
Right. And so what he didn't realize that it wasn't going to be the Assyrians that were going to be his next enemy that would attack. It would be the very Babylonians he was showing he was showing him. Now, here in America, our founding fathers told us we had to keep eternal vigilance, didn't they, to keep our freedom?
Right, eternal.
And did not Bill Clinton advance our enemies, the Red Chinese, 25 years by giving them technology that advanced them immediately.
Yep. Laurel Corporation went over, taught them how to launch weather satellites, which was the same technology to launch warheads. He sold them 100 of our gray supercomputers. By the way, they didn't clean the hard drives off, and there were around 110 Chinese scientists that graduated that same year with PhDs in AI, and he hands over all these supercomputers from places like Livermore Labs that they hadn't cleaned the hard drives.
Did he not also bring in all these Chinese scientist students, science students? They came in into our labs, they learned our technology, then they went back to China.
And we're
many
still
of
doing
them.
It.
Yeah,
and they're still doing the same stupid thing.
Are they not allowing the Chinese to buy land surrounding our military bases, to buy land, own land surrounding our military bases, and also our missile sites, right, where they're buying land around our missile sites? Now, also, I lost my train of thought. There was something else that he's just done recently with the Chinese again. So basically, and remember Uranium One, where Hillary sold 25% of our uranium
to the Russians.
Yeah. And so that's exactly what they're doing here in America. They're doing exactly what Hezekiah did, except for Hezekiah didn't do it for a profit, for money. He was a good king. The Clintons, and the others, you know, the Biden crime family, they sold everything out to China. I mean, everything. There's nothing that the Chinese, if they have the money to pay for it, that the Biden crime cartel will not sell. And so,
the same thing with allowing the fentanyl that originates in China that comes through the our broken borders and the cartels in to destroy our youth, our children, ravage our cities, same thing, only it's selling out America through the back door as well as the front door.
We're going to go to, right now, we're going to go and play a clip, Wendy, and this is going to be on the Jane Ruby program. This is Dr. Brian Artis and Mike Adams, and it's exactly what you were talking about, the COVID virus that contains dozens of synthetic animal venoms. So go ahead, Craig, and go ahead and play that clip.
Sure, a boss And the founder of Brighteon TV, an expert in microscopy, was the first person to bravely step forward and actually begin the analysis of the chemical composition of embalmer Richard Hirschman's findings, who was the first embalmer to step forward with these white clots pulled from jabbed cadavers. And Mike's findings stunned the world as he and I walked through his demonstration live on the Alex Jones Show some months ago. What he found were metals that are almost never found in the human body, and so much more information that he has since done on these vials and more. And I couldn't think of anything more powerful than to bring these two scientists together for a joint discussion to help answer all of the questions that you've had since I brought these findings forward. And I'm really excited to welcome both Dr. Brian Artis and Health Ranger Mike Adams to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. Gentlemen, this is an unprecedented honor of mine. Thank you so much for being with me.
It's great to be here, Jane and Brian. Honor, yes.
Yeah, I have so much admiration awesome. For both of you. I can't even begin to tell you. Anyway, I want to start in give the audience a little bit of a refresher and a background from each of you of what you've laid out so far. And then we're going to get into more of a discussion together. And then in a little while, Mike, you're going to share some findings that is kind of an exclusive first time out of the box. So I'm excited about that too. So Mike, why don't you start with your initial findings in that famous clot that you got samples of from Richard Hirschman?
Okay, I will. And by the way, thank you for connecting me to Richard Hirschman so we could get those samples. And I just want to say also, I know that Brian's going to present his research, but when he first talked about venom peptides, you know, we were the only ones, I think, in the industry that published detailed research articles about VenomTech and other companies that have a database of peptides from venom that are used throughout the medical industry and are referenced probably hundreds of thousands of times in research papers. So I just want to say for the record that anybody out there who is claiming that there's no such thing as venom or venom peptides in medicine, you don't know what you're talking about. It's all throughout the literature. I can give you two companies that actually license these. They license them to all big pharma and so on. So let's just get past that ridiculousness of claiming there's no such thing as venom peptides in medicine. And no, nobody's talking about running around milking millions of snakes for venom. It's all right. Synthetically created, folks. I still hear people who don't get this, people who should know better. Mm-hmm. They still don't get it. It's created synthetically. The same way, you know, in a lab, they create vitamin C or they create different nutritional supplements from yeast and E. coli. So anyway, I just want to put that out there for the record, okay, before I get started. With that said, what I've covered, you know, my laboratory is ICP-MS, heavy metals and elemental analysis plus microscopy, and we also have triple quad mass spec equipment. So what we've done, we took those the biostructures, we'll call them, the clots from Richard Hirschman. We put them under the microscope. You were with me when we did that on the Alex Jones Show live, and we looked at them. And then we did an analysis with a heavy metals analysis, the ICP-MS, and we found that these structures, whatever they are, they contain higher concentrations of conductive metals compared to normal human tissue or even, you know, meat or dog food or chicken breast or whatever, because we test food all the time in our lab too. So I've been pursuing more of the nanotech side of this, while Dr. Artis is focused on more of the venom tech side or the venom peptides side of this, but they interrelate in ways that I think will become apparent today. And then I'll turn it back to you, but sometime here in this interview, I want to drop the bombshell I have about needles. So just remember the word needles. We're going to get into some of that today. This is the first time I've talked about it publicly. We have new results. So yeah. That's kind of the summary.
Yeah. And thank you for that. And we can do that, you know, after we hear from, you know, get Brian's quick summary. We can get into that at any time you want, because I think it's all going to be part of it and it'll be important for people to know. So Brian, just a quick summary. I mean, our interview from last week was so well received. I mean, it's literally almost a half a million views. And people are clamoring about it. There was so much rich information. And we kind of caught them a little bit with a play on words, which was your idea, where we titled it, Dr. Artis Was Wrong. So give the audience a little bit of a refresh summary on that.
Yeah, that was a little bit fun. You called the day before and you said, what should we title this presentation you're about to give? And I said, why don't you just say Dr. Artis was wrong? And And it was really quite funny because people were worried that I would actually even say that. And maybe that would throw people off. And the truth was, it's actually more complex and more venomously involved than even I realized. That was the truth. So the truth's coming out of China and France in the first months of the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. In January of 2020, Chinese researchers said the people who were sick in Wuhan, the antibodies in their body fighting this new novel COVID pneumonia, they actually were attacking and identifying venom peptides from two snakes. And they believed the origin source for COVID was the Chinese crepe and the Chinese king cobra snakes. And then it was published on CNN and all over the place, all over the world, that the origin source for the Wuhan virus was, which they were calling it at the time, were actually snakes. And then the third most likely source was bats.
Yeah.
And then in France, in April of 2020, they found that the spike protein, when they ran the gene sequences of it, they found that it was not just crepe venom peptides, which is a short sequence of protein from the venom of crepe snakes. It also was the Chinese king cobra venom peptide was the spike protein. And then three different snippets of genetic material from the rabies virus. And then they, so that was one thing. And then what I did with your audience on Friday was take them through the evidence out of a study in Italy 2 months later in 2020 from the French study. Yeah. They actually published when they ran the blood, urine, and feces of COVID-19 PCR positive patients in multiple cities in Italy. They also took people who PCR tested negative for COVID from multiple cities in Italy, and they took their tissue samples of urine, blood, and feces. And then they ran them through a bunch of lab techniques called liquid chromatography and mass spectrometry. And they wanted to see, is it true, like the Chinese researchers and French researchers, is it true there might be venom peptides causing COVID symptoms? Mm-hmm. And when they ran the sequences of venoms found in the COVID-19 patients only, they actually published 36 different venom sources. And then the actual component of the venoms from 20 different snakes found in the blood and feces of COVID-19 patients, and then 16 marine shellfish venoms in the blood and feces of the COVID-19 patients. And then they also published, they actually found zero animal venoms inside of the negative PCR patients who did not test positive for COVID. And then we laid out for the world my concerns about these 15 different marine snail venoms in COVID patients called conotoxins. And then we took you through and showed the world, like Mike just mentioned, I gave just one example on your show of a company you could order online synthetic crepe venom, the exact component of crepe venom found in COVID-19 patients. You can order it online. And then it designates on the website, you at home get to choose what do you want your synthetic snake venom from the crepe snake to be made in. Do you want it made in yeast or E. coli or mammal cells? And it was just an eye-opening experience to witness that the body can synthetically make this in mammal cells. You can make it in the lab in bacteria, E. coli, and yeast.
Yeah, and thank you for that. That is a great summary. I want both of you to know that, because you've both been on the show before, the pictures, the slides, everything, Brian, that you brought on Friday, Mike, in our previous interviews, we have if you can recall, because you've actually conducted these analyses, I have those available. So if you want to refer to them, our producers will definitely bring them up on the screen so that people can see what you're talking about. Just reference it with a title or a description, and they're pretty sharp. So anyway, with that said, thank you both for that. Mike, do you want to give us the new discovery that you've not talked about?
Not yet. Okay. I will shortly, but I have something new to add to your interview with Dr. Artis from a couple of days ago, something that I think you're both going to find really exciting. So what the method that they use that Brian just referred to, liquid chromatography plus mass spectrometry, this is a method that I use every day in our laboratory. So we're very familiar with what those look like. And the reason I mention this is because if anybody is out there saying that, oh, this lab didn't know what they were looking at, or it must have been some other molecule that just happened to look the same as these venom peptides. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something, bombshell. I read the study, I looked at the data, they confirm the molecules in three different ways. Those three ways are number one, the chromatography elution time, which is where the chemical comes out of the chromatography column at a certain minute, like, you know, minute 2.5 or minute three or whatever. You can see the peaks in the charts. That's proof number one. Now, that alone is not absolute proof, but they did two other things. They got the mass of the molecule, which in the charts is expressed as M divided by Z, which is mass over charge ratio, which usually just you simplify that to mass. So they have the mass of the molecule, and you can calculate the mass of every peptide molecule. Every venom molecule has a determined mass based on, you know, the sum of the elements that make it up, right? But then they did a third way, a third confirmation, and that's called ion fragmentation. So if you take any molecule and you blast it with energy, it breaks apart in certain specific identifiable and predictable patterns. Mm. And in mass spectrometry, what you do is you use your instrument to scan for both the original mass, which is M over Z, but also you scan for the ion fragments. And the ion fragments are like a fingerprint at a crime scene. And it tells you that these fragments could only have come from this other molecule, which was also found with the same, with the mass over charge ratio. So that's the third confirmation. So in other words, these results are solid. Mm. They did all three methods. This wasn't just some guy in his basement with a chromatography machine talking about, oh yeah, we found, you know, cannabinoids, whatever. No, this is mass confirmed and then ion fragmentation confirmed as well. So wow. I wanted to make sure you both know that piece because it's a big deal.
That's important. That's important. Wow, thank you for that, because you really went through that Italian study, which is what you're referring to. And we do have that study. Right. We have the title page so that people can read it for themselves. Maybe they have some ability to, you know, to grasp all of that. But you really did a fine tooth comb through that study, clearly. So Brian, anything to add to that? I mean, that really bolsters, that study really is what just catapulted your findings into this new level.
Yeah, it was one of the final things that made me so confident that it was time to do the interviews with Stu, do the actual interviews with Mike, and then go around the world sharing the confidence that I had that these people did their due diligence.
Yeah.
And they found and confirmed that what the Chinese researchers, French researchers, and now Italy researchers, they all confirmed the same thing. There is this underlying venom peptide, and each of these components from these various venomous creatures absolutely cause every single side effect listed from COVID. In fact, Mike, one of the most impressive, and Dr. Jane, one of the most impressive resulted research studies I found was the University of Arizona study. Mm-hmm. When they took the 300 patients' blood samples in 2021 from two different hospital systems, they wanted to know what kills COVID-19 patients and what's the biomarker we should tell medical doctors to look for. And what they found was very disturbing. They said this enzyme, normally found in rattlesnake venom, is at such levels we've never seen it at this level in the blood of a human. It's 20 times anything we've ever seen in a chronic illness of a human. And the enzyme is called phospholipase A2. Now, this substance, phospholipase A2, was first ever discovered. They disclosed in the research study. It was first ever found in king cobra venom, which just so happened to also be the same snake researchers in China and France said was the originating source for COVID. So it wasn't ironic to me. However, when I showed the Utah State University study on your show, Dr. Jane Ruby, that they were able to use what they call genetic engineering,
yes,
in 2018 to introduce E. coli bacteria to just synthesize synthetic PLA2 from snake venom, mm-hmm. That was the aha moment for me. It was, well, what if there's just microorganisms in that's also complicating certain COVID cases? For example, a diabetic who has uncontrollable ability to manage blood sugar, they very often have co-infections of E. coli, bacterial overgrowth, and yeast or candida, which just happens to be the mediums you can select to manufacture synthetic venom in a lab or in vivo. So I just want people to be aware. I think this is the correlation to the one demographic of people who are dying from COVID and hospitalized the most are diabetics. Once I got to this genetic engineering of synthetic snake venom PLA2 that was confirmed to be the biomarker killing COVID patients by the University of Arizona, this is what made them declare It looks like venom coursing through the body. Mm-hmm. That's what they titled their article. It looks like they've been bitten by snakes because there's so much of this PLA2. I just want people to recognize.
Right.
PLA2 is the massive thing that people were aware of, originally isolated from king cobra venom. They found 20 times the normal level in human beings with COVID patients.
And what's the other medium that we're loaded with? Mammalian cells, right?
Mammal cells. Yep.
Right.
It's very interesting.
So let me give you the question that came up the most. And it comes up after I've interviewed Mike, and it came up a lot after our interview last week, Brian, and that was, how are we getting it? Thousands of people wrote to me and said, I didn't quite understand how they're saying we get it. Now, Dr. Tao Braun says it's environmental now. It's so ubiquitous. It's gotten out through so many different ways. But do you concur with that? What do you guys think?
Yeah, so I'll tell you my one thought. If you don't know this yet, go look at just type in Google, type in DuckDuckGo, type in United States Department of Justice and the word conotoxin. This article pulls up from 2012. Our United States of America Department of Justice in 2012 published an article that's still on there live today. It says there's so much conotoxin, this cone snail venom that there was found in COVID-19 patients. They said there's so much of it around the world. We are worried it could be used as a bioterrorist weapon. Mm. And they're going to aerosolize it. And what's going to happen when people breathe it in? It's going to cause respiratory failure. It's in the abstract. Respiratory failure by paralyzing the diaphragm.
Okay. Can either of you bring that down to the average person? They're going to say to you, am I breathing it in? Am I touching it on the counter at the store, the grocery store? Am I getting it?
I have a different theory.
Please, Mike.
On that. Well, I mean, it may be complimentary, but this, you got to understand, self-replicating vaccines are a technology that's been researched since the 1990s. In fact, the United Nations has acknowledged it. You know, the scientific establishment says that self-replicating vaccines are a key technology that they want to deploy. And I believe they have deployed it. Now, understand, in self-replicating vaccines, and by the way, this brings me to a question I have for Dr. Artis after that interview, but self-replicating vaccines program your body to generate the antigen target, which is the spike protein, in addition to generating another component that is designed to be shed to others around you, and that shed component, whatever it is, then infects that person's cells, takes over their operating system, and begins to generate both the antigen and other shedding components as well. So that's what a self-replicating vaccine is. And my question to Dr. Artis related to this is, do you believe that there are mRNA instructions in the vaccine that are coded for the body to produce these venom peptides itself?
Mike, that is a great question, and I want to answer it very emphatically and confidently until it's proven otherwise. There isn't a single adverse event being reported by these COVID-19 mRNA shots that does not explicitly in writing, isn't a published side effects of conotoxin envenomation in a human. I believe the mRNA injections are instructions for the human body to engineer these conotoxin venoms and possibly the venoms of these other peptides from snakes.
Exactly.
Yes, I absolutely concur.
What about J&J and AstraZeneca? They don't have a direct mRNA encapsulated, supposedly, if we believe what we're told. They have a different mechanism. Any insight into those two?
I would like to answer that, but I want to hear Mike's thoughts first.
Well, I want to say, if we know that they're finding these toxin peptides in COVID patients, many of whom are no doubt vaccinated as well. So the two vectors of introduction would be to have the toxins in the vaccine, obviously, but the vaccine itself, which is usually half a milliliter of total volume, may not even be large enough to hold the amount of toxins that are being detected in the feces and in the blood plasma. See, so that's why I agree with what Dr. Artis just said, which is that it seems like there is a cocktail of mRNA encoding that is encoding, well, causing the body to synthesize these. And by the way, there are stories out there, mainstream stories, that you can find where people have a yeast in their gut that produces alcohol from carbohydrates. And when they eat too much sugar, they get drunk. They literally get drunk from the alcohol production in their own gut. So this is not a wild theory. This is just basic biochemistry. So you can have yeast and you can have E. coli in your gut. And because that makeup is so different in every individual, it means that some people may have 1,000 times more susceptibility to the vaccines because they're generating potentially 1,000 times more venom in their gut. Wow. Whereas other people, if they have different species of E. coli or they have probiotics that are protecting them, they may have no production of these venom peptides in their bodies. Does that make sense, Dr. Artis?
Mike, one of the things I actually brought up this weekend to several medical doctors, including Dr. Rashid Buttar, was I want to see the people who have been injured with the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines, and I think we should do a stool sample test.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.